holy, 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 I want to see you.
Yes, Lord, we want to see you. Holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, I want to see you.
We just love you. We just worship you. God, we just thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we love you so much.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence. Living in me.
Yes, Jesus.
This is my daily bread.
Yes.
This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe.
Yes, Jesus.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Thank you, Lord.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. Oh Lord.
Yes, Lord, we're lost.
I'm lost without you.
God, we're nothing without you. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we just worship you. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Oh, God, we just worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Walked against the water. waiting if you please. Would long to see the roses. Yes, but never felt the thorns. Bought our pretty crowns, but never paid the price. Find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here for you. Yes, Jesus. Find me in the river. Find me on my knees. I walked against the water.
Thank you.
Now I'm waiting if you please.
Yes.
We didn't count on the suffering. We didn't count on pain. But if the blessing's in the valley,
yes, Jesus,
then in the river I will wait. Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me. I'm waiting here for you. Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river.
Come on, let's sing it to him this morning.
I'm waiting here for you.
Sing it out. Let's hear you.
Yeah. Find me in the river. Find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone, I'm cracked and dry. Find me in the river. Yes, Lord. I'm waiting here for you.
Yes. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. More time, sing it out.
Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river. Yes, I'm waiting.
Worship you, Lord. We want to be found in the river of your Spirit, flowing with what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. We want to be hearing your voice, Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said the sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. And Lord, you said your sheep would hear your voice and they would follow you. And I'm thankful today, Lord, that you lead us and you guide us. You direct our steps. You speak to our hearts. Use many different ways, Lord, but you lead us. And we thank you for that. Lord, help us to be able to hear, discern what we're hearing, and to follow you. That's all that matters. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, hallelujah. That last song was just perfect for what I'm going to preach this morning. Goodness. Everybody good? Feeling good? All right. You snuck in on us. This is my old boss's wife, Kat Graham. We haven't seen her in a long time. We used to do 3-hour, 4-hour Bible studies. It was a great time working for GTR back in those days and hanging out with Kat and Steve and John. So, snuck in the back door on us this morning. But that's all right. That works. All right, everybody, you got your Bibles this morning. I'm going to just kind of go along with that last song there, because this is what the Lord's been laying on my heart this morning. I want you to go with me first. Let's go to those verses I just quoted a minute. Well, I want to go to John 10. So I'll talk about being led by the Spirit. Now, this is a topic that I talk about frequently because it's so important. And it's not easy. It's not easy to make sure that you're hearing the voice of God. It's not. And the leading of the Holy Spirit, because there are many voices and there are many spirits out there looking to deceive you. And so it's just vitally important. But I want to lay this down first, because, again, we have new people watching and listening all the time, and they don't know these things. They grew up maybe in different denominations, and so they never heard this stuff about being led by the Spirit. Now, as we turn to John 10 and verse 27, I want to say this first and foremost, so everybody gets this down in them, right? The number one way God leads his people is by his written word. All right? You understand that? By the sound doctrine, the rightly divided word of God, that is the number one way. That's the foundation of all truth and being led in any direction. Then any other means that God may use to lead us, his still small voice, the witness in our spirits, visions, dreams, prophetic words that he might give you directly or through somebody else, all those other means have to be filtered through and tested by what is written. God will never speak to you or lead you to do anything contrary to his word or his moral law. You understand that? I have people, I've shared this story before. I had a woman come to me one time and tell me that the Lord was leading her to divorce her husband, that the Spirit of God spoke to her. Jesus told her, divorce your husband, leave him. I said, is he cheating on you? No. Is he beating on you? No. I said, okay, then why? Well, I think he hunts too much. And I'd say, well, let me just go and tell you something right now. Whatever spirit you think you're hearing from is not the Holy Spirit. It's not God telling you to leave him. Now, granted, he might have an idol of hunting, but that is not grounds for a divorce, all right? Never to say in here, my husband hunts too much, you are free to leave him if he hunts too much, all right? That's not in the book. So we go by, again, she should have tested what she was hearing by what was written, and she would have known immediately that is a demon spirit, a deceiving spirit, a seducing spirit. That's something trying to deceive me. Now, I know that one sounds pretty obvious, but guess what she did? She went ahead and divorced her husband, even though she came to counseling to me and my wife, and we said, absolutely not. And let me tell you, when she left her husband, she became a disaster zone. Okay? So hear what I'm saying. God's not going to lead you contrary to his written word. All right? But again, let me say this. The word has to be in its context. You know, I remember old Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He talked about being led by the Spirit often, but he said, you can pull anything out of Scripture. If you pull it out of context, you make it say whatever you want it to say. He'd say, you know, in the story of Judas, the Bible says Judas went and hanged himself, right? And then in the story of the Good Samaritan, he said, go thou and do likewise. You could pull those two things out and say, Judas went and hanged himself, go thou and do likewise, and say, the Bible told me to do it. No, you can't do that. You can't take the Bible out of context and make it say whatever you want it to say. And that goes for being led by the Spirit or doctrine. Okay, so it's very important. Now, I want to read this verse because a lot of people don't get this. But right here, this is John 10:27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. The word "hear" there is a present tense Greek verb, which means ongoing action taking place in the present. So what he's saying is, my sheep are continually hearing my voice in an ongoing manner, right? He's saying, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Another present tense Greek verb, which means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. So we are to hear his voice. Now, there'll be some people out there, the cessationist and other denominations, will say, well, that just means his word. Well, it doesn't say that. But just for those people, let's go over here to John 16. And let's read this. John 16, and go down to verse 13. And this is, again, we're reading the red again, right? Again, I got people out there that are so deceived, they'll say that we shouldn't teach what from the Gospels, from what Jesus said. I'm not joking, Christians. Mind-blowing. Verse 13, howbeit, this is Jesus speaking again, howbeit when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. But notice he says speak. And he's saying when the Holy Spirit would come. He's saying he's going to speak to you, right? He's going to speak to you, and he's going to say he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. All right? Now, again, some of them would say, well, that's for just for the apostles, just for the early disciples, right? Well, let's go read something in Acts chapter 2. Because after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and prophesying, Lord, isn't it amazing that the first believers were Pentecostals? The first church was Pentecostal church. I know that just hurts somebody's feelings out there, but that's just the way it is. That's Bible. That's not Pastor Dean. That's Bible. The first church was Pentecostal. You understand that? See, we have regressed pretty much most of the church world from what we're supposed to be. But the Bible said the Holy Spirit came upon them. Remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he will speak to you, and he will show you things to come. And so on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues, all 120 of them. And they begin to speak in other tongues. And, of course, then Peter stands up and starts preaching the word, and he talks about Joel. And what's interesting, in verse 16, he talked about in the last days. He says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Now, let me just stop right there. Prophesying means you're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you at that moment, and you speak that. That's what prophesying is. So he's saying right here, especially in the last days, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters, men and women are going to prophesy. They're going to speak by inspiration from the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit's going to speak to them, and they're going to speak what the Holy Spirit says, and some of that will be things foretelling events, right? Knowing things before they happen. He goes on to say, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So another way God will speak to us, he says, especially in the last days, I'm going to give visions, even to young people, and dreams. These are going to be revelations. And if we read the Bible, what do we see God doing through the whole Bible? Giving people dreams and visions to lead them and guide them. Remember that when the wise men went to see Jesus, it says what? They were warned in a dream, right? Joseph was warned in a dream to go into Egypt. God uses dreams all the time. He uses visions. Can I just say this? New Testament Christianity, if you're truly born again, walking with Jesus, these things should happen in your life. You should hear his voice. You should have dreams, prophetic dreams and visions. You should have some experiences with him because God wants to lead you and guide you. Part of the problem is you say, well, I don't get those things. Those things don't ever happen to me. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because for a lot of people, you have not completely surrendered to say, God, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. You think if I know somebody's a stubborn rebel, I'm going to ask them to do something? I'm going to trust them to do it? No. He wants us to be willing. It's when you start saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to give, whatever you want me to sacrifice, whatever you want me to go through, I will do it. Then God will go, you know what? Here's somebody I can start to lead. Here's somebody I can start to give words, dreams, visions, supernatural guidance. And then you say, we got the people out there who say, well, but Pastor Dean, you know, that's a dangerous world out there. That's scary. That's, you know, there's a lot of things out there. Like I said, there's a lot of spirits and people out there trying to deceive you. But let me tell you something. Fear is not of God. God wants us to be led by the Spirit. This I can't stress this enough. But I want to go over. I didn't even get to my point here. Having said all that, Peter preaches this powerful sermon. You killed the Prince of Life. You killed the Messiah, but God has raised him from the dead. And all these people here, they said they were pricked in their hearts. So let's go drop down to verse 36. I want you to see this about how the Holy Spirit works. So we've shown here clearly the Holy Spirit wants his people to be led by the Spirit, especially in the last days. And then he says this, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What was he talking about? Just salvation? No. Because he said, repent, believe in Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and you shall receive. And means something else. And you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, your children, to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we've established here pretty clearly, there's no such thing as the gifts of the Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, has ceased somehow in the first century or with the apostles. That is the biggest bunch of demonic nonsense. But let me tell you, churches all over this town and all over this country teach that every week. The gifts of the Spirit ceased. Just read the Bible. Let me tell you something. You can't even read the Bible correctly unless the Holy Spirit helps you. I know a lot of people that read the Bible and don't know, you know, couldn't find their behind with a map and both hands, yeah. God wants us led by the Spirit. Now, let me show you something. I want you to go to Mark chapter 6. Because this is the meat of it. Now, I've talked about how to discern when you're being led by the Spirit. We've got those messages. They're out there. I think we got about 350 videos now. They're out there. They're even in playlists, so you can find them. Kelsey does a great job organizing our chaotic mess that we had. Mark chapter 6. This is really what I wanted to get to today. But you know, you have to set everything up, right? You have to have an introduction. Everybody there? All right, Mark chapter 6. Let's go to, make sure this is, yeah. Yeah, Mark 6, verse 45. That's what I wanted to go to. Now, being led by the Spirit, say, well, Pastor Dean, I heard the Lord tell me something. I was in prayer. I've been fasting. I heard the Lord give me direction, and I stepped out and did it, or started that way, and everything went wrong. Does that mean it wasn't God? Nope, not necessarily. Let's read this. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. And while he sent away the people, and he had sent them away, and he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and he would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, what I want to say here is, the disciples had a word from God. They had a direct word from Jesus. Go to the other side. The problem is that they started that process. They started to obey, and they got in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And I've been on a boat. I've gone across the Sea of Galilee myself. And it was nice and calm that day. But I hear that it can get pretty rough on the Sea of Galilee sometimes. But it says the wind was contrary, a storm came up, and they were really terrified. This particular passage doesn't tell the whole story about how afraid they were, how in doubt they were. Folks, let me tell you this right now. When God speaks to you to do something, when he gives you new direction, when he says it's time to move in this direction, sometimes it could be simple as changing a job or changing churches or moving to a new place or maybe pulling your kids out of a school to homeschool or whatever. Any kind of thing. There can be all these new things, and you feel that God's leading you to do them, and you start to obey. Let me just go on and tell you, Satan's not just going to sit back and go, oh, look at them, they're obeying. Let's move on to someone else. No. If you remember correctly, in the other part of the story, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. Why did he rebuke the wind and the waves? Well, one thing we learn from the book of Job is that Satan and demon spirits have a limited power to actually use the weather against us. We talk about weather wars. Let me tell you who's involved in weather wars. Satan and demons and fallen angels. And there's human beings working with them, but there's always been weather wars. Remember the storm that killed Job's children? It wasn't God. It wasn't God. It wasn't just an act of nature. It says Satan did it. So Satan used the wind. He used the elements to cause that. And I believe this storm was caused by Satan and demonic powers because he wanted to kill the apostles. He wanted to drown them. He wanted to destroy them. But remember, they had a word from God. Go to the other side. Now, let me just go on and tell you right now. When God tells you you're going from point A and you're going to go to point B, are you going to trust that, yeah, he told me to go from point A to point B, so I don't care what's in between, I'm going to make it there. But don't be fooled that it's all going to be an easy road. Some of the most difficult things you will do and some of the most opposition you will face will be while you're walking to do the will of God. Man, let me tell you, when we obeyed God to come here and start this church, I told you, those first few years were extremely difficult. But we didn't quit. And I can tell you right now, every wind in our life was contrary. People turning against us, injuries, all kinds of problems. I wondered sometimes, I was like, Lord, are you sure? You sent me to my Nazareth, really? Like, who is this guy? We grew up with him. That's why almost no one, finally we have somebody that I used to go to school with, actually comes to church. I mean, it took 12 years for the breakthrough to happen. But most of them like, yeah, we grew up with this guy. We're not going to his church. But you know what? It was God. I had a word. Go start a church in Opelika, Auburn, our home, my hometown. Go home and start a church. But let me tell you, the winds were contrary, brother. For years, for several years. You know, we think a trial is supposed to be over in about a week. You know, oh, Lord, it's been so hard this week. Sometimes it's hard for years. But let me tell you, what I look at now is I thank God that we believed him we would get to the place where he told us we'd get to. So we just kept doing. This is something about it. When you know you've heard from God, and the winds are contrary, and everything's going wrong in your life. It can be, everything was going wrong, from financial difficulty, health difficulties, accidents and injuries, betrayal. It was just intense. But we was like, no, this is what the Lord's told us to do. So you just keep plowing. And that was 2009. 2010, the Lord speaks to me, and he says, no mega pastor, church pastor would ever say this was a word from God, right? But the Lord said, your church is the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. So what he told me, he said in 2010, he said, your church is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, it's just a small little lunch. That's all you are right now. You're just a small little meal. You feed a few people. And the Lord said, but I'm going to multiply it and feed thousands of people. Now, in 2010, I couldn't even comprehend how that was ever going to happen. There was no such thing as streaming, live streaming. Had no idea what was going to happen. And now, just what that word. But again, you want to talk about 2010. That's when I tore my Achilles. That's when... 4 months behind on rent, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it was. Couldn't work for 6 months. You just think about it. It's like, do you quit? And let me tell you, sometimes when God's told you to go from here to here, it looks like you're not going to get there. We have people all the time. People want to move here and come here, think this church is wonderful because they see everything online. Oh, it's so wonderful. And I'm like, please, when you get here, you still have to live real life with real people who have issues and problems. And we're all holy sandpaper. We all rub each other the wrong way at times. That's what we are, holy sandpaper, brother. And I tell people, don't you come here unless you know it's a word. Why do I tell people, don't come here, don't change your whole life unless you know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and leading you to do that? Why? Because I know the winds are going to get contrary. I don't care how good you think a church is, how much of the power of God's there, how much truth's there, how much the Holy Spirit's there. You're still going to be difficulties. There's still going to be a devil being a faithful devil. That's his only attribute he's got that's good. He's faithful. He's consistently evil. And he's consistently working against you. He's tenacious. He just keeps on working hard. And listen, most of the ways that he fights us, just like with the disciples, is in our minds with nonsense. What did it say? They had not considered the miracle of the loaves. They're still doubting Jesus. They see him multiply food, feed thousands of people, and they're worried about a little storm on the Sea of Galilee. And it says because they considered not the miracle of the loaves because their heart was hardened. Hardened toward what? You think, we look at them and laugh, oh, I'm not like them. Yes, you are. You're just like them. You take one little step out to do God's will, and here comes the wind. You're like, oh, let me run and hide. This is too much. I can't do it, Lord. How many, I know, listen, right now. Can I tell you? The war I go through trying to do this thing that God told me to run for governor of Alabama. Y'all would not believe the winds that are contrary. I mean, sometimes I think I'm a pretty strong fella. And then I step out in a new area. And boy, there's a new demonic wind that hits me. And man, boy, they talk to your head too. And then you get mentally worn down and you get physically worn down. You get tired. And then somebody comes along and says stuff that, you know, to reinforce what the devil's talking. Like Job's wife. Curse God and die. Thanks, honey. That was helpful. That was real helpful. Thank God I don't have a wife like that. My wife would say, do the will of God until you die. Whatever it takes, we do the will of God. That's what I love about my wife. She's always been, let's do the will of God. She hates traveling, but she's traveling all over this state with me. She knows, you know why? Because it's the will of God. She knows it's the will of God. She knows it's the Spirit. We know it's the Spirit of God. We know God has led us to do this. But let me tell you, the winds get extremely contrary. Remember, we started the school of ministry. Y'all have no idea how many days I wanted to quit. Trying to do 2 hours. This is what I was doing every week. I was preparing a 2-hour class on Tuesday, on Monday. Then I would get it finally finished, come in and teach it, and have to start preparing the next 2-hour class for the next day. And then teach it. And then I did that for the whole year until we got the curriculum developed. Let me tell you, it wears me out. Pastors know this. Sunday, just preaching and ministering to people and praying for people and getting ready to try to preach what God tells you to preach, sometimes it's like working an 8-hour day, you know, an eight-day week or a 7-day week, digging holes, digging trenches, you know. Let me tell you, remember when the woman came out with the issue of blood and she touched Jesus' garment, he said, I felt virtue, leave me. Let me tell you, God gives you what you need to minister, but when you minister, it pulls it all out of you. That's why I remember days of finished preaching and just go home and collapse, pass out for hours. Because folks just have no idea until you do it. Y'all think it's easy. And my wife even sometimes thinks it's easy for me to get up and speak. Yes, you do. Like, she says it's easier for me than it is for her. I have to remember sometimes, I'm like, I do stress a little. Because you know what? You should if you feel responsible for the people you're talking to. And that's the stress I feel, is I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth. I'm going to give a greater account by talking to you than you listening to me. You hear me? It's scary. Makes me tremble. I don't want to lead anybody astray. But this is the thing the Lord laid on my heart so strong. It's not going to be easy to do the will of God in your life. It's always easier to sit there and do nothing, or to run away, or to go back to things that were comfortable. Always easier. I remember when I had my friend Rick that I worked with. We were partners in remodeling business and everything. He's the one that was the fifth degree Tong Soo Do master and taught me martial arts, and we just became good friends. But I remember him, he used to always say, we would have these jobs come in, people would want us to do a certain type of job, and we'd get to doing it and it'd get difficult. And he was like, well, if it's easy, everybody'd do it. That's why they're paying us to do it, right? And I was like, yeah. Nothing worth having in this world, especially if it's of God, is going to come with just ease and comfort and no problems. and you're going to have to press through it. And again, most of the time it's not obvious. The thing about wind is you don't see it. It's sometimes it's things you don't see. A lot of times you guys don't know the spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle. You don't see it because it's this wind. It's spiritual. And it just comes against, you know, this is like what David said in Psalm 42. And he's like, you know, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You can get these winds sometimes. Everything can be fine. And these winds will come against your spirit, against your mind. And you feel like death warmed over. You feel like you can barely get up and going. And the sun's shining. And there's money in the bank account. And there's food in the refrigerator. And everything seems to be okay. And you can just be miserable. And you have to fight that off. You have to bind those demons. You have to resist that. You have to cast down those imaginations. You have to fight it off and keep pressing through. So, well, Pastor Dean, what if, what if it doesn't work? Let me show you something. Let's go to Matthew 14. I know I'm speaking to somebody today. The devil, can I just say this? He never attacks you the way you think he's going to. And the moment you start thinking he's coming one way, he's going to double back around you and come another way that you didn't see coming. I mean, he's good at being a devil. He's good at it. Matthew 14. Let's read this. This is a familiar passage. It's one of my favorite stories in the Gospels because there's so much in this. And all of this was put here for a reason. Verse 22, in the spirit, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when therefore the even was come, he was alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, when is that? 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's when everyone should be asleep. So that's kind of the roughest time of the night there, right? And he says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, this is the same story. We just get a little more information. But what's interesting about this is why I love Peter. The wind was contrary. The storm was on the water. And he's asked to step out of the boat. Man, how many Christians are like that? I know I'm about to step into a storm, but I'm going to step in it. Listen, I knew stepping in this political realm, I knew I was about to step into a swamp full of snakes. But when the Lord said go, and when the Lord says come on, guess what Peter's like? Yeah, let's go. Now think about this. Peter walks on the water, and we all love this story because the supernatural comes when you step out to do the will of God, not while you sit on your butt and do nothing. You want the supernatural. You want to hear the Holy Spirit talk to you. You want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. You want dreams and visions. You want to see miracles. You're going to have to step out of the boat. You're going to learn how to listen to what he says and then do it when the winds are contrary, when the storm's raging around you, when everybody's against you. You're going to have to still step and move forward. And Peter steps out. Now, Peter, but he stepped out. But then he started doubting and started to sink. Now, let me ask you something. When Jesus came over to save him, Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Let me ask you a question. What do you think the one sitting in the boat had if Peter had little faith? Zero was their hero. You get what I'm saying? The people sitting in the boat, did Jesus still love them? Yes. Did they still worship him? Yes. There's people in the kingdom of God right now that are always going to sit in the boat. There's nothing you're going to say to convince them to get out of the boat. I saw one of those ladies yesterday. Hands crossed. And I'm just like, you're just hard-headed. She said, "Who said that?" I quoted some scripture. "Who said that?" I said, "Jesus did." Didn't want to hear it. I mean, it's funny when people just shut down. I'm like, well, I just looked at her. I didn't think it at the time, but now I look at her and I think, yeah, you're just going to sit in the boat. That's all right. Jesus still loves her. She's a Christian, I hope. I don't know her life, but I'm saying she can be a Christian. She still be a Christian, still sit in the boat like the rest of them. But if you want to be somebody that walks on the water, you want the supernatural. And hey, you want the adventure. People that follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, Christianity is never boring. I promise you, I have not had a boring 34 years. Not always easy. Sometimes very hard. But I wouldn't trade it for sitting in the boat and doing nothing. And in the days ahead, I believe that all of you sitting here and some of you out there listening, I believe some of you are maturing and growing spiritually. You're growing in the Word. You're hungry and thirsty for God to do something in your life. You're not satisfied sitting in the boat doing nothing. I believe you're going to start hearing His Word. There's going to be dreams and visions coming to you. You're going to know what God's calling you to do, and you're going to step out and do it. I believe that with all my heart, that God is raising up a people in these last days who will step out, sons and daughters, who will prophesy, who will obey and move when these visions and dreams happen. I mean, right now, look, God's using, I mean, my wife went through a period where she's like, "I don't hear God." And she didn't realize she's hearing him all the time. I have to remind her, like, babe, God gives you a dream and it comes to pass and warns us of things that are about to happen or going on in the church. All the time he's using her. And she sits there, God doesn't use me. He uses you. He doesn't use. I'm like, what are you talking about, woman? You're a better Christian than I am. But again, God's given it to her, and that those winds of doubt and make you think, I'm not doing anything. Can I tell you, sometimes it's a victory when you don't move backwards. When you just stand your ground. I remember that message, the pea patch. Y'all remember that? What's his name? Why can't I remember his name now? The pea patch guy. What's his name? Look it up for me. David's mighty men. The three mighty men. It wasn't Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. I remember his name. Huh? No? Yeah. Shammah or Shema, or however you pronounce it. But remember, it says there was nothing but a little pea patch. And the Philistines were going to come and try to take that from Israel. And it says that he took hold of the sword and he fought them by himself. His whole army of Philistines, he fought so long that his hand cramped up and he couldn't let go of the sword. That's how long. But over a pea patch. It basically said, devil, it may just be a pea patch, but you're not getting the pea patch. Sorry, not today. And some of you need to rise up and stop him from stealing your pea patch. And what does that sword represent? The Bible says the sword of the Spirit. Spirit, which is the Word of God. But it's the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you win. But you got to be tenacious. You got to be ferocious. You got to be willing to fight until you can't even turn loose of the sword. I don't know about y'all. I've played sports. I've done it all where your muscles cramp up and you can't move them. It cramped up. Ugh. I know exactly. That means he was in pain, let me tell you. But he was like, I don't care what kind of pain I'm going through. I don't care how tired I am. And I don't care how many Philistines you send my way. You're not getting one pea. We need some Christians like that. You're not getting my children. You're not getting my money. You're not getting my house. You're not getting my job. You're not getting me out of the will of God. You're not getting me away from the truth. You're not getting me away from the word. You're not getting me to go back drinking. You're not getting me to go back smoking dope. You're not going to get me go back to the other drugs. You're not going to get me to go back to sex and immorality. You're not going to get me to go back to the club. No. I'm not going back. I'm going forward, or I'm going to fight right here until I can go forward. Some people say, well, that's what I feel like, Pastor. And sometimes I feel like I'm in a holding pattern. That's okay. Just hold it. Hold the ground. In a battle, you got to, in warfare, you got to take ground and then hold it. And sometimes the enemy starts fighting ferocious and tries to move you backwards. And you're just like, no, we won this ground with blood, sweat, and tears. We're not letting go of it. I don't know why, but I'm fired up about this as well. Maybe it's too because the devil, oh, man, he wants me to quit. He's like, you can't do this. They hate you. They're about to come after you. Oh, I've been hearing those voices. They're about to come after you. It's like almost the more I press forward with this thing, the more I feel it. And see, something's about to pop. You know how I know that? Because I felt them. It's like they're trying to hold it all back. Just like the Alabama press. They're trying to ignore me. The day's coming here pretty soon. They can't do it. They won't be able to do it. Especially when I start putting stuff on TV and radio. Sorry, I paid for it. It's going on there. But see, again, that's God's will for me. What's God's will for you? We forget sometimes, too, to do the will of God is going to cause some suffering. And we just want to run away from suffering. Or pain or affliction. And you know that pain or affliction can come by just people talking bad about us. Look, I don't minimize that. This Bible calls it reproach. Words hurt. You know, people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words never hurt. No, words hurt. That's why the Bible says death and life's in the power of the tongue. The Bible says words have power behind them. They have the power of God behind them, or they have the power of Satan behind them. They have the power of life, or they have the power of death. They have the power of encouragement or discouragement. What does discourage mean? You lose courage. People can say things to make you just your. Think about it. Think about it. Somebody says something just negative and hurtful, especially if it's somebody you love or you respect, and you're already struggling, and then they come along and say, yeah, you ain't no good at that. Oh, thank you. That was helpful. Words hurt. But how do you fight those words? You speak God's word against it. God's word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And because I love not my life, even unto death. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, you said in your word, if I submit to you and resist the devil, he has to flee from me.
And that word flee means to run in terror. Can I tell you this? There's been times in my life when the devil was coming in like a flood, and I finally rose up against it, and the Spirit of God rose up against it in me, and I have seen them flee in terror. Let me tell you, a lot of people don't want to be around me because the demons in them don't want to be around me. They don't even know why. That's folks that don't like me. They don't even know why they don't like me. They just don't like me. I'm just because you got demons in you, and they don't like me. That's Carl, but we love Carl. We love you, Carl. And that's okay, because we're going to keep loving you until we can get you where we can cast some demons out of you. Yeah, one day Carl's going to come around. Carl's going to be like, he's going to just break down in tears. Holy Spirit going to come all over him, going to break down in tears, go, oh, Dean loves me anyway. Because you know what? I believe a lot more people are going to be saved. I believe enemies, hateful people, mean people are going to get saved. Because guess what? We were all hateful, mean sinners before, weren't we? Well, I used to be hateful. If you spoke to me wrong, you just get your teeth knocked out. Literally. I have scars on these knuckles from knocking teeth out of people's mouth. But since Jesus came in my life, I don't do that anymore. But think about it. Think about before you were saved. Before you were saved, you were saved. You were cussed like a drunk sailor. Be just mean. Even unsaved, you go, you'd say something just mean to somebody, and you go, why did I say that? Because that demon's talking through you. Ephesians 2 says the devils are in the children of disobedience. God's going to save some mean people, some hateful people, some deceived people. We're going to see a harvest of souls, y'all. See, I know I talk about the bad stuff that's coming, but I tell you, I know some good stuff's coming. I mean, we're even seeing it. We're seeing great miracles in people you would never dream. Y'all just wait. There's a testimony coming that's going to freak y'all out. But Jesus is able to save from the uttermost. Remember that? Look, there's going to be some people out there that are deep state Satanists, Luciferians, and they're finally going to go, you know what? We tried to kill that preacher in Alabama, and he just won't die. Every time we do it, something gets in the way. Obviously, his Jesus is stronger than our Satan, our Lucifer. And I've had Satanists walk up to me in the past and go, we've tried to kill you, couldn't do it. I want this Jesus that you have. Obviously, he's strong. Because, see, Satan's lied to them. And they believe that. They believe the lie that Satan is stronger than Jesus. And they mock the crucifixion. They tell, Satanists tell, their, you know, each other, and they tell their trainees that they've got Jesus chained to a rock in hell and all this stuff, and that they crucified him and killed him and defeated him. That's what they tell, and they believe that until they run up against a true Christian and they start doing their Tom Cruise voodoo magic on you and it doesn't work. And they, or like they did me, sent someone to shoot me on multiple occasions, y'all. And I'm still here. I'll tell y'all this story. You know, they tried to kill me. They tried to shoot me several times. And I mean, even in Evangel Temple parking lot in Montgomery, three guys with guns and masks got out long before Corona. And wasn't those kind of masks anyway. Three guns pointing at me with eyewitnesses all around me. And Sal recently got to hear one of the eyewitnesses confirm it. So he heard that one of the eyewitnesses say, yeah, I was with him, and it's three guys and guns pointed at him. And at that time, I didn't carry a gun with me. So, but there was no fear. I just stood there. In fact, I started walking towards them. When you have Jesus, you don't run. I didn't run in fear. I ran towards them, got their license plate number. As they all of a sudden pointing guns at me, get terrified, throw the guns back in the trunk and jump in the car and try to take off, and I get their license plate number. But they tried to kill me those times and all those, you know. And here's what's neat. That was early on, and my brother Alan at that time decided to go to Christ for the Nations in Dallas. So, you know, they have in Dallas, they have a kind of a big high-rise is their, you know, dorms and situation. And so Alan said he gets his assignment, he enrolls in Bible school, and he goes up, and he goes in his dorm, and he walks in, and his roommate's in there from Nebraska. And my brother tells him his name. He said, Odell. He said, you don't have a brother named Dean, do you? Alan looked at him and said, how do you know I have a brother named Dean? He said, well, before I got saved, I was a Satanist. He said, and he caused us a lot of problems in Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas. And they knew all the way to Nebraska. And he told him the whole story. Now think about that. And that guy got saved and was in Bible school. And then I went and hung out with him. I went to visit him at Christ for the Nations and actually hung out with the guy and got him to tell me the story. You just don't know how powerful you are walking with Jesus. Say, well, Pastor Dean, now, some people get martyred. Some people get, yeah, that's going to happen. That happens. But can I just say this? If you walk with the Lord, not a hair on your head will fall down without it. God be saying, I'm allowing this. And you don't worry about it. God is good. Good things are going to happen. God wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things to come. He wants to give you dreams and visions that reveal things and confirm things. I'm going to give you a list of some things. This is just right off the top of my head. You want to know how God speaks to you, I'm going to give you. Number one, we said, the written word of God. And everything else goes back to that. God will never contradict it. He will never go against it. That's number one. Number two is the still small voice. That's where you hear words inside of you, but not like you hear me. And sometimes they just override your thoughts. And a lot of times that's when we go, well, is that me or is that the Lord? And you should always test that and make sure. But usually, you know, like I've told people many times before, if I'm sitting in a restaurant and I'm not thinking about preaching or talking to anybody about Jesus, I'm just trying to eat a meal. But there's been times I've been in a restaurant and the Lord said, stand up and talk to the people behind you. I can tell you right now that the devil's not leading me to tell somebody in a restaurant about Jesus, right? Now, when the Lord said, go to Auburn or Opelika, start a church, when the Lord said that, guess what? There's nothing in the Bible that says, Dean Odell, go to Opelika, Alabama, and start a church. So how do you judge that? Well, that's when you wait, you hear those words, go start a church. I even took that when he said, go home. I was in Washington, D.C. at the time, and he said, when they're going to fire you on November 30th, and this was in October, he said, they're going to fire you on November 30th, and when they do, I want you to go home and start a church. I heard those words inside of me, but not like you hear me. It wasn't audible to my physical ears. Go start a church. But when I hear things like that, and you need to listen to me, this is where you need to be very, very careful. Because just because you hear something does not mean it's God. So you know what I did with that? I put it on this little back burner back here and go, okay. At the time, sometimes I don't even tell Nancy these things because I'm not sure if it's God or not. So why am I going to speak it out and bring confusion? I just set it over here and let it simmer on that back burner. We'll see if it cooks up something nice here in a little bit. Because God's faithful enough to give you confirmation, right? So I just continue on doing what I know to do because God had sent me to D.C. So think about this. The pastor up there that I was working for comes in and says, We're going to set things up for you. You're going back home. You know, Nancy and I got married on November 1st, and then so I flew. I drove, actually, that time back down. We got married, honeymoon, come back, fly back to D.C., and then I flew back for Thanksgiving. So I was coming home for Thanksgiving, which was going to be that week where November 30th, right? So right before I fly home from D.C., Thanksgiving, the pastor comes in and is like, oh, we're going to schedule you to preach at this church on December 7th and this church on December 14th. So I'm sitting here going, Lord, I thought the Lord told me I'm getting fired on November 30th. I don't know what this is right here. And really, see, I know now they'd already made up their decision to fire me. I don't know what this conversation was about, to fool me or something. I don't know. But sure enough, I flew home. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And the night before I was to fly back home, I got an email that I was fired. Right? And I was fired for standing up for what was right, but still, I was fired. But guess what? He said, we're terminating our contract with you, because I had a 2-year contract with him, effective November 30th. I still have that email. Well, guess what that was? Confirmation number. Well, God spoke, then a confirmation. The next thing we get, I come back home, we're in Georgia, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm kind of just ignoring all this, right? And I'm just hanging out and trying to figure the Lord, what are we going to do? We're both, Nancy had resigned her job to move to Washington, D.C., so she's about to be unemployed at the end of December. And all of this is going on. And the Lord is like, I already told you what to do. Because, see, I started getting this heavy feeling like, okay, I'm missing something. And then I'm in the car praying, and the Holy Spirit comes on me. And this is the third way. Listen to me. You got the Word. You've got the still small voice, and then you've got the presence of the Holy Spirit when he moves upon you. And so I'm sitting in the car saying, Lord, what's going on? I feel just disturbed, like something serious is wrong. And the Holy Spirit came on me. And he said, I already told you what to do. Go to Opelika and start a church. Call this person. Told me who to call. And the presence of God was all of the, that's the witness of the Holy Spirit. And that's spoken of in Romans 8 when it says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The only way you know you're truly born again is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and makes sure you know that. If you don't know you're born again, you're probably not. Because the Holy Spirit gives witness. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is an overwhelming peace. There's a joy. You just feel his love. There's a warmth, and there's even a boost of your faith when he moves upon you. But that's what I call the witness of the Holy Spirit. When you feel the opposite of that, that's a warning. All right? But then, another way the Lord will speak to you is that he'll speak to you through a vision. Now, a vision can come in three ways. I'll say this. A vision can be three ways. A vision can be you see in the spirit or something spiritual with your eyes wide open. You're seeing in the physical, but then all of a sudden you see in the spiritual. For instance, we were doing a meeting in Georgia one time, and a woman came up for prayer, and as she's walking down the aisle for prayer, I see a demonic hand. I can only see about this much of it. It was kind of purple, and it had long, jagged, long fingernails. It was just evil looking. It was wrapped around her throat like this, and the nails of it was sunk into her throat. Well, she was a singer who couldn't sing. She had lost her voice. One of Nancy's friends. Beautiful singer. Couldn't sing. I saw that demon spirit that was clamped onto her throat. Now, I could still see her walking. My eyes were wide open. I wasn't asleep. I didn't have my eyes closed. So this was an open vision. And so when she came down, I told her what I saw, prayed for, commanded that demon to leave, and guess what? Over the next few weeks, we found she gets her singing voice back. All right? I've had that happen many times. Eyes open, see it. All right? But I was seeing both in the physical world and the spiritual world at the same time. But many times when I lay hands on people and pray for people, and I have my eyes closed, I'll see a vision. God will play like a short movie for me about something. And when this happens, I call this, and the old timers used to call this a closed vision, because you have your eyes closed. You're just seeing it. You're awake. You're fully awake. You're fully conscious, but it's almost like a dream is playing in your mind. And a lot of times, I'll just tell people what I'm seeing. It freaks them out. Like I told you, I've told you all this before, but some of you are new. But I remember one time I was pastoring church in Montgomery, and this woman visited from Atlanta. Never seen her before, never met her before. She comes up for prayer. I lay hands on her. I got my eyes closed, and I'm praying for her. And I see her standing in the aisle of a grocery store being afraid to tell people about Jesus, right? So I tell her, I said, I see you standing in a grocery store being afraid to tell people about Jesus, and the Lord wants me to tell you to be bold and go ahead and step out and quit worrying about what people think, even your bosses. Tears are rolling down her face. So after I get through praying for the rest of the people, she testifies to the whole church. She said, I was sitting in the back of the church under my breath saying, where are the men of God? Where are the people who operate in the gifts of the Spirit, in the prophetic gifts? She comes forward, pray for her. She said, just like a week before, she just got a job in one of those grocery stores, the people that stand in the aisles and give you samples. And she said people were coming up to her, and she would feel this overwhelming urge to tell them about Jesus, but she was afraid to. Exactly what was going on. Now, you want to talk about random as could be. I had no knowledge of that. That's what the Bible calls a word of knowledge. But it can come in vision form. And so two gifts were up in there. The word of knowledge is operating in the gift of prophecy because God gave me a word to encourage her in that situation. All right? So that's a closed vision. And then the other third type of vision is a dream that's from the Lord. Now, not all dreams are from the Lord because, you know, a lot of us dream a lot. We have stupid dreams, you know, weird dreams, busy dreams. But there'll be times that you'll have a dream that's so crystal clear. And if you're talking about Jesus in the dream or you're preaching or you're witnessing to somebody or some situation's going on that's really spiritual, you better pay attention to that. And really, you ought to pay attention. Any dream that's very vivid and clear, I would write it down. Because you may find out in the very near future what everything in it means. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me over the years. Very specific dreams. And I could give many examples of those. But you hear what I'm saying. God wants to speak to you. Lately, God's been giving my wife some dreams to warn us of certain people in situations, and they end up being accurate, right? But even those, if you have a dream, it's not always mean you're to put your interpretation on it, or certainly not, and oh, let me say this, don't go out and buy some dream interpretation book. Well, if it's a car, it means a ministry, right? Or Google stuff. Because your dreams, for instance, a car in one dream could mean it's just a car. A car in another dream could mean, for instance, I had a dream about a person who was in a school bus. And the school bus broke down. And then as they were sitting in the school, and they were supposed to get off the school bus. But then, you know how those sinkholes happen? There was a sinkhole that happened right by the edge of the school bus, and then all of a sudden it started tipping over into this, and I'm like, get out, get out, get out. And it goes on in there. And then the sinkhole was full of water, and the bus went underwater. And I'm saying the windows were open in the bus, and I'm saying, surely they're going to get out. And then I was about to dive in and get them out, and the Lord spoke to me in the dream, said, don't you dare dive in there. Well, guess what? All of that came to pass. There was a person I knew who was a principal in a school, and they were supposed to get out of that situation, and they didn't get out of that situation, and it began to sink, it began to fall over and take them down, and I wanted to go help them and get them out of it, and the Lord was like, nope, not your job to get them out of it. and everything. And there was more details to it. But what I'm saying is, I didn't understand that when I first had the dream. But when everything happened that happened later, God brought it back to my mind. I was like, oh, that bus represented the school. It represented, you know, the situation. And it fit perfect. That's why sometimes you gotta write them down, because it's like, you won't know until it happens. Sometimes, I mean, I've had stuff where I was asking the Lord a question and I fell asleep and I had a dream that answered the question. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened. So God will use dreams. You know why he uses dreams? Because sometimes he's just got to get us out of the way. We need to be out cold so he can actually talk to us, because we're too busy thinking and plotting our own ways. Right? So he knocks us out. We go to sleep. All right, now I can talk to him because they're get their brain out of the way for a minute. Now, let me give you another one. God will speak to you through other people. And sometimes they know it. Sometimes God's given them a prophetic word for you and they know it. Sometimes they just say something. They don't even know what they're talking about. And you got, yep, they're talking right to me. That's the gift of prophecy working. But anybody gives you a word, a prophecy, you have to judge it. You see, you have to wait. Let God confirm it. Is it, first of all, is it violating anything in the scriptures? And number two, do I have the witness of the Holy Spirit? Is this really from God or just from them or from the devil? So you test every personal type prophecy you get. But let me give you the last one, and we're going to quit. And it's only been an hour, because I didn't get up here until, so I'm not going an hour and a half or 2 hours a day. I'm just giving you that. But is God speaks through counsel. He says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. This is the spiritual authority aspect of things. And this is why it's good at times to seek godly counsel. Not any counsel, because we know we can find anybody out there to tell us what we want to hear. Right? Godly counsel. People you know that's going to give you what the word says. People that you know are seasoned, experienced, mature Christians that are not going to, you know, just pet your little ego and tell you what you want to hear. But it says in the multitude of counselors. And there's been times, I remember I had a situation rise when we first started the church here, and there was a situation with a former pastor that was in sin, and I had to deal with it, and I'm just like, I was feeling overwhelmed, and I was like, and so all of a sudden it dawned on me, seek counsel. So I talked to two gentlemen, ministers of the gospel that had been ministers 40 years each, two different, didn't know each other, these two men. But they're seasoned men of God, been pastors, been overseers of churches for many years. I asked them, told them the whole situation and just said, what do I do? Both men lived in different parts of the country, didn't know each other, said the exact same thing. I said, that's the Lord. And the multitude of counselors is safety. I knew exactly what to do. And so sometimes you can feel like you're in a tizzy. Seek godly counsel. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to do every time the godly counsel says do this or I think you should do this. They're just going to give you advice. You still need to pray about it and make sure. I have to tell people sometimes because they're like, oh, Pastor Dean says that I'm going to do it. No, I don't want that. You understand? Now, it's different if it's a disciplinary thing. If I say something in church, if I say that's false doctrine, it's not going to be taught here, or you're doing something in church, I say, you're not doing that here. Guess what? You're not. All right? But if I say, hey, this is what I think. I'm not saying I have a word from God. This is just my advice. Then that's just to be taken. Okay, I'm gonna put that as one counsel and see what it, you know. You get what I'm saying? And these are safety measures. In fact, a lot of times, you should wait on anything. If it's a big move, I'm like moving across the country, changing schools, changing jobs, getting married. I mean, if it's big things like that, you should be patient and make sure that you've heard the direction and the voice of God about it. And not just, listen, Nancy and I knew we were supposed to get married, and I kept messing with her, you know, because I didn't really have a time frame. I think we got engaged. I asked her to marry me on like April 26th, and I just told her, I said, well, we just get married on Cinco de Mayo. That's my favorite holiday. I was just making crap up. It was so funny. We had her daughter convinced, so convinced that Cinco de Mayo was my favorite holiday, she bought me a sombrero. I'm not joking. I had her convinced. But we were joking around, but we just kept praying about it, and both of it until we both felt like about 6 months, and we picked, you know, there was a reason we picked a certain date, and felt that was God leading to pick that date. And it worked out perfectly. What I'm saying is, had we got ahead of God, it's one thing to know what God wants you to do, it's another thing to know when you're supposed to do it. And some of us just go, oh, God told me, let me jump, let me run. He's like, wait a minute. Don't time out. I didn't say now. So be listening. But just know this, and I'm going to close with this. Just know this. Even after you're sure, God has spoken to you. Let's go to the other side. It may be, let's go to Fire and Grace Church. I can assure you the winds will get contrary. Oh, we're going to move to Alabama. I assure you, the winds will get contrary for you. Oh, I'm going to go in the ministry. I'm going to go in the ministry school. We warn these students. It's not easy. You better know it's God. Because you will probably be dropping out if it's not. See, it's going to be hard. There's things going to be hard to do. There's parents out there. This is a word right here for somebody. You're struggling right now. This is a word for you. You are struggling right now with the question, do I pull my kid out of public school and start homeschooling? And you know God's laying it on your heart, but you're afraid. It's time to step. It's time to just do it and trust God. Never a wrong time to do the right thing. These schools right now, a lot of them are pushing these kids. If kids have any kind of behavior issue, they can't come to school unless they take these drugs. They're drug pushers now. They wouldn't be pushing those drugs on my kids. If I had to go get 3 jobs, you're not going back to the drug pushers and to the communist socialist pushers. You're not going back. So that was for some. I know, like I'm telling you right now. It may be for somebody in here too. It may be for more than one person. But I can tell you, I feel it strong. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there's some parents you gotta send them to public school right now. But let me tell you, if they start doing this stuff, this critical race theory, if they're still teaching the Common Core nonsense, and if they start pushing your kid to be on drugs, on Ritalin, and all this other stuff, no. You know what? It's time. And I think a lot of Christians, look, the public schools are teaching your kids everything contrary to what this book says. And you wonder why by the time they go to college, they walk away from Jesus. Because basically, by you sending them there, you're saying, son or daughter, I trust these people as authorities. No. That's why faith, let me tell you what faith is. Faith's never seen. I guess you walked with us through Opelika High School, so I can't say she's never seen a public high school or public school, but she's never spent one day in one. And guess what? We sacrificed a lot in the beginning, especially when we were one income family. That's tough. But you know what? I told my wife, I said, I don't care. We're not sending her to that public school. No way. Oh, and what do I keep seeing? What do I keep seeing on the news? Everything pops up on my news feed. Oh, this teacher was caught having sexual relations with this student. Oh, all over Alabama. Prattville's been having a real problem. I'm like, send my kid off to people I don't know for 8 hours a day. Mm-mm. Not me. Some people got more faith in the system than I do. I'm sorry, but you know, I just love my daughter comes to me and says, Dad, she's taking, she's in the Abeka curriculum, and they're a good Christian one. They don't have it all right, but they're probably one of the best. And she comes and she said, Dad, my book, is it history? Her history book. She said, look, they got it right about the UN. She said, I can't believe they got it right. And we sat there and read it. I was like, they're dead on about the United Nations. But she knew they got it right Why? Because we taught her right. She knows more than most adults in your normal churches, right? Faith could be their pastor right now. She's got more discernment than a lot of adults I know. My daughters tell me all the time, Dad, I don't like that person. Something feels wrong about that person. She ends up being right. Anyway, the Lord told me she was going to be operating as a prophetess by the time she was 12, and it's already happening. The prophetic and gifts of the Spirit are already working in her. 12 years, you know, 11 years old. You say, if an 11-year-old can listen, you can listen. So please, and just know, listen, I say this again, one more time. There will be voices that try to deceive you. There are Christians that still have demon spirits in them. They still have familiar spirits. They still have lying spirits and deceiving spirits. And so they'll be hearing one thing one minute and another thing next minute. And if you get contradicting directions, you better stop and check yourself, because one of them's wrong. I mean, if one of them says go to the store, the other one says don't ever go to the store, you better figure out which one's the right one, because it's not God. One of them's not God, I assure you. And I'm just using that go to the store thing as an example, but you better test it. You say, well, if I'm not sure, I love what one of my old pastors used to say, if you don't know, don't go. Don't do it. If you don't absolutely know, and I'm talking about the big stuff, y'all know what I'm saying. We have to go to the store. Now the day's coming, you won't be able to go to the store, but we're not there yet. But that day's coming. But in the days ahead, the Lord may say, don't go to Walmart, because they got something waiting for you. Oh, they're going to use Walmart, y'all. I won't even get into that this morning. But the day's going to come, the Lord's going to say, don't go there. The day's going to come, you're going to step out of your house to go somewhere, and the Lord said, don't go there. You better listen. And there's the days he's going to say, no, you usually go to this gas station. I want you to go to this one over here. This is the way God wants us to be, led by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to tell some of you, go preach the gospel to your neighbors. You say you love your neighbor, but you never told them about me. Why don't you go tell them? That'll prove you love me. Think about it. Do we have people living next to us we've never, ever mentioned the name of Jesus to? How do we love in our neighbor? The Lord will say, go talk to him. You say, oh, that's got to be the devil. No, you're afraid. Quit being afraid. Let's stand this morning. That's a good word right there, quit being afraid. Fear makes you doubt. Fear paralyzes you. And we're not supposed to be a people led by fear. That doesn't mean fear is not going to come. Fear comes. Fear still comes at me sometimes. You have to fight it off. Because what is fear? Fear is the devil's gift of prophecy. Y'all know that, right? Because what is fear? Fear is like terrified of what's about. Something bad's going to happen. Well, who do you think's putting that in there? And what the devil's trying to do is get you to agree with him. And if any two of you agree, you shall have it. What Job say? The thing I feared has come upon me. You give power to things, to the devil, when you agree with him. Don't agree with him. Agree with God. Agree with the Bible. Agree with the Holy Spirit. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am a king and priest to the Most High God through the blood of Jesus. I will be a light to this world. I will not put my light under a bushel. You know what I'm saying? When that devil put that fear on you, I will love my neighbor. I love them enough to tell them about Jesus. I love them enough to take them some food, even though they've been mean to me and threw trash in my yard. I'll still take them some food if they're hungry. Let's do, what was that one? I can't remember the name of it. Let's just do Air I Breathe. is the air I breathe. God, that's such a good song. But just get your mind. We're going to do this song. I don't even know how long it is. But just worship the Lord for a minute. Because this is what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be, Job said the Lord was his like his necessary food. And this song is talking about how he's, like, we need him like we need air. And just let the Spirit of God take over your life completely. I promise you, it's the best life. No matter about the wind and the waves that are contrary, it's the best life. And it's the life on Judgment Day that the Lord's going to look at and go, well done. Well done. Let's do it.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is
Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us, to anoint us with fresh oil from heaven, that we would be a people surrendered to your will, listening for your voice, listening for your leading and your guidance. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be people who step out of the boat, who move forward, who hear your voice and follow you, who operate in the supernatural, Lord, in these last days. That we may prophesy, that you may use us and give us dreams and visions and use us to minister to people, Lord, all over this world and even right next door. Lord, I pray it today. I pray it for everyone here, those watching and listening. Let us be your light and your truth, Lord, and just be vessels for you to flow through. Lord Jesus, we ask you to flow and work through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're done here. Y'all hook some necks before you leave. Oh, yeah. What's the date again? Real quick. Quick announcement. Deliverance Conference, August 7th. August 7th. What's the, where do they register? How? Go to dnodal.org, and there is a link to register for the Deliverance Conference. I guess we're just calling it, what are we calling it, Breaking Free? It's going to be a little different. We're going to do some teaching, but we're going to do some praying for some folks too. All right? So we're going to try to break some chains and cast out some demons and get some Christians free. And then, yeah, we'll be, those of you, especially in the Montgomery area, we're going to be at the State House steps tomorrow. We're doing it's three groups. It's our campaign and Focus on America. And I keep forgetting what Casey's called. Medical Freedom Group. But Casey, we met in Heflin. But I don't know how many is going to be able to show up on a weekday. But the reason we're doing it 2 p.m. tomorrow on the State House steps is because that's the last day of this legislative session. And so we're going to give them a little report card, a little what they got done, sweet potatoes and liquor delivery versus Second Amendment and protecting us from mandatory vaccines. So we're going to, you know, let them know a few things. Our group, we need to probably be here at 11 and loaded up and ready to go that way to set up this. We have the permit. So that's 11 South Union Street. If anybody is confused about it, the Capitol is the big dome-shaped building. The steps are on the Dexter Avenue side. The State House is behind the Capitol across the street, but it's right there. You can see it. So that's where we will be tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. We're going to try to live stream it. We're going to try to set up a stand with a iPhone and at least live stream that way. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, just be praying for us, but we'd love for you if you can come join us, come be with us. That's 2 p.m. tomorrow. State House steps in Montgomery. So, all right. And then August 7th, right? August 7th, all day event, 9 to 6. And that's going to be at the Marriott at the Grand National. So, and the registration fee is for the lunch. We don't make any money off of it, but part of their deal to let us rent their room is food. Yeah. So, yeah, we're actually losing a little money on it, but we don't care. God will make it up. But we're just letting you know the event fee is for your lunch, not for anything else. And, you know, and the reason we do that is because the Marriott Grand National is kind of out of town and there's really no restaurants around there. So that's why we always do that when we're out there. All right. Please come if you can. Deliverance Conference, August 7th, registration, dnodal.org. There's a link right there on the front page, right? And you can register for that. All right. God bless you guys. Hug some necks. That's right.